All right, hello, this is Richard Carafel from Agility, and welcome to PR Profiles, where we chat with experts in the PR and communications industry, because we think PR is the most formidable, dynamic, and rewarding field there is. And we wanted to introduce you to some of our favorite powerhouses in the industry. And today, we are speaking with Stephanie White, Vice President of Media Relations at Cura Strategies. How are you, Stephanie? Welcome to the show.
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, you bet. Stephanie specializes in health and healthcare media relations. Over the past decade, she's worked creatively to translate complex healthcare issues for lay audiences, elevate the voices of key leaders, and secure top-tier media coverage for patient advocacy organizations, hospital and health systems, professional associations, and government agencies. Stephanie also recently served on the board of Washington Women in Public Relations, where she led professional development events and their annual Emerging Leader Awards reception. Okay, wow, that is an impressive resume, Stephanie, and we're barely scraped the surface of your professional history. I'll let you introduce yourself to the audience in more detail with this first question. Now, you joined Cura in April of this year, 2023. What are you most proud of from your previous roles? And what are you hoping to accomplish going forward?
Yeah, thank you so much. That's a great question. I would say something that I'm most proud of, it kind of takes me back to earlier in my career when I was first starting out, and I was working with an Alzheimer's Research Institute, and they were really paving the way in terms of prevention research and clinical trial recruitment, and also really setting a standard of care for patients and their families. And I was working to help elevate the leaders of that organization at a more national scale, you know, outside of just their local market. And at the same time, I was working on building out their social media channels. And so that gave me great insight into talking with patients, talking with families, seeing what they were going through. And one of the trends that I was noticing is that I was talking to a lot of caregivers that were actually my age. They were in their early 20s at the time. And I thought that seemed unusual. You know, typically they talk about the sandwich generation where parents are taking care of their parents and their children at the same time. So I thought of this trend as a media angle, and I pitched it to the Washington Post. And at the same time, I had a friend actually who was in nursing school in the DC area, and she was helping care for her grandparents. So she served as a great local, you know, kind of example of this millennial. And at the time, millennials were really the hot generation to talk about, you know, similar to how Gen Z is now. So all of these things came together, and it landed a front page story in the style section. My best friend's photo was on the front with her grandfather, and our leader from the Institute was featured as the expert talking about caregiving. So it really cemented my interest in earned media and was a great starting point for my career.
Well, that's a terrific story. And sounds like you're doing some very important stuff over there at Cura, and it must be rewarding to participate in that kind of thing. So that must feel good inside. So thanks, Stephanie. And since Cura is a healthcare-focused agency, what kind of challenges are you seeing in the industry from a client perspective and a communications perspective? How do you think PR is set up to address those challenges?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, working in healthcare, a challenge that I've been seeing a lot recently across different clients is that a lot of time the policies are lagging behind our innovations. So we may have, you know, amazing new treatments or a great standard of care or a, you know, prevention method, but if we don't have the policies and the practices that are needed for those innovations to meet patients, then we're not really providing optimal care. And so, you know, at the same time, a lot of diseases don't get the level of attention that they deserve. And that can be because of stigma. I've seen that a lot in the lung cancer space, or it can be because the community that's impacted by a certain disease is, you know, may not have the resources to advocate for themselves. So, you know, we see all these different challenges. And an example is right now I'm working with the transplant community. So the, you know, a lot of organizations that support organ transplants from kidneys to hearts to lungs. And a challenge that they're facing right now is they have these innovative blood tests, these like molecular diagnostic tests that have been really revolutionary for patients after they receive an organ to help extend the life of that organ. You know, organ transplants are an amazing scientific advancement. They've been around for around 20 years. We talk a lot about what it takes to get on the organ transplant wait list and finally get that gift of life. But there's not a lot of attention paid to what happens to that patient once they have a new kidney, once they have a new heart. Are they only living with it for a year, for 5 years? So being able to detect potential issues with those organs early enough to intervene is so important for those patients. So right now we're battling coverage restrictions for those tests. And that's something where communications can come in to really help tell the story around why this matters for patients, you know, get into the nitty gritty details of these nuanced policy issues and make a difference by, you know, reaching policymakers, reaching reporters, reaching stakeholders that can really help make a difference and take action.
Yeah, I see. That's a set of steps you got to go through every time. And with the policy thing, amazing that government just can't keep up, right? They usually move so fast.
I know.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for putting that in perspective. And that is quite a challenge. All right. Now, the use of AI in the PR industry is a hot topic and has been for months. Now, you were involved in putting together a framework for how teams can use generative AI and what possible guardrails you might need at Cura to define how it should and shouldn't be used at your agency. Now, how's that going? What have you come up with? And what do you think the future of AI in healthcare PR looks like?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, it's really an exciting time in PR and communications to be thinking about generative AI and how we can be using it to elevate our work, but making sure that we're using it responsibly is so, so important. So the leadership team at Cura has really been focusing on, you know, getting the lay of the landscape for ourselves, you know, experimenting with these tools, and then thinking about how we can create a framework or kind of a playbook for our staff internally. But also how can we be helping our clients externally kind of understand, you know, and navigate this new tool? So we started that by doing a survey. We surveyed our internal staff as well as our clients to help get a sense of how they're experiencing generative AI, what some of the kind of perceptions are, and what some of the gaps in knowledge are so that we can help fill those gaps. So that's been really great kind of insights for us to gather. We've also, you know, dug and done our own research and listened to hear what experts are saying. And so we've developed that initial framework for our internal team. And it does, like you said, it's a lot about how can we use this for certain aspects of our work to improve it, but not replace any of the human elements, because, you know, that's why we have these jobs. We're here to be strategic thinkers and to really do that deep work. And then, you know, set guardrails so that we're being responsible. And I think a good example for working in earned media is that we, you know, we're often privy to information of our clients that's not yet public, whether that's embargoed data or a big announcement that's coming out. So we need to be very careful to not share any of that information into a generative AI tool, because once you put it in there, then it's public knowledge for anyone using that tool. So definitely a big guardrail when thinking about earned media. And thinking about AI more broadly outside of just generative AI, you know, it's been full speed ahead in the healthcare space. And so it's just interesting to kind of keep up with that in the news and see what's happening. I know recently the National Eating Disorders Association said that they were going to transition from using volunteers for their hotline to using a chatbot. And it got some backlash because first the volunteers were upset because, you know, they were passing up an opportunity that where they can help people. But also, you know, using a chatbot in a situation where there could be a crisis or just a conversation that needs more of that human judgment call. Another example of why you don't want to take away that human element. You want to just nurture it and augment.
Yeah, that is a great example of why that's the case. And I think it's finally settling in with people, especially in communications, that, you know, AI is not here to take our jobs. You know, it's just a tool that we have to learn to use, you know, but obviously a big learning curve involved. But put the two together and you can really accomplish some things, you know, but AI alone, you know, no one's going to trust AI in a life and death situation, I don't think, you know. Right. I sure wouldn't. Very interesting. Okay, well, thank you. Very interesting points you made there. Now, what advice would you give to students, you know, or people that are just starting out in PR?
Yeah, I would say for someone starting out in PR that you should raise your hand for any opportunities that come your way. So even if you don't feel like you necessarily have time, you know, just being showing that you're eager and that you're really willing to learn and jump in is a great, you know, way to pave a great path for yourself on a new team. I also think kind of coming at it as wanting to be a jack of all trades. So maybe later in your career, you'll specialize in something like earned media or digital media. But I think it's really great to dip your toes in all different forms of communications from the start, so that once you do specialize, you still have insight into those other areas and you can, you know, bring forth recommendations to your clients or to your organization with that wealth of knowledge rather than just focusing in on one area.
Those are great tips. Fantastic advice. Thank you, Stephanie. Let me ask you this. You know, what is a common myth about PR that you would like to debunk?
Yeah. So when I thought about this question, you know, I think that a lot of times PR is this like elusive idea or concept that if you're not in the day-to-day of it, or if you didn't study it, you don't necessarily fully understand the full value of it. And I think that that can set up an organizational structure where PR isn't necessarily placed in the right way. But I think that more and more executives and organizations are understanding the value of PR, and they're seeing like the visibility and why communications matters, and why it's so important to have somebody with that communications background in the C-suite or at the table when big decisions are being made, because, you know, those people are really cued into how the organization is viewed externally. And having a person with that mindset in there when decisions are being made, I think is so important. And I think that that's starting to happen. And I also think that executives are realizing structurally where they need to have PR and marketing and advocacy all working together and really being collaborative, so that people are not duplicating efforts and those disciplines are really building on one another. That's the only way to really elevate your brand, is to have all these different pieces working together and collaborating.
Yeah, you made some great points there. As far as the integration of functions, you know, is such an important thing now. It really doesn't need to be siloed at all anymore, you know, especially within communications, because everything works to accomplish the same goals now, you know, with a lot of the same patterns. And it's funny what you said about, the people who don't seem to understand PR why it's important. You know, those are the ones who usually think the worst, you know, of PR right away, because they just don't understand, you know, all they hear are the stories, the spin doctoring stories and stuff, which I think maybe starting to go away, you know, now that PR's value has really been elevated in the post-COVID era. But yeah, it is hard to get people on the right track with why PR is important. So those are great points. Okay, thank you, Stephanie. Now, finally, how can people connect with you?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to connect with anyone. You can reach me on LinkedIn. It's linkedin.com/Stephanie White, W-I-G-H-T. That would probably be the best place.
Perfect. All right, everybody. Well, thanks. That's all the time we have. And again, we have been chatting with Stephanie White, the Vice President of Media Relations at Cura Strategies. So thank you, Stephanie, very much for joining us today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. All right. And we hope you enjoyed this episode of PR Profiles, brought to you by Agility. And after 2 years and 33 PR powerhouses, this show has come to an end, sadly. We've enjoyed bringing you the insights and expertise of our many fabulous and generous guests like Stephanie, and hope that you will continue to listen to and share past episodes of the show, which are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and our website, agilitypr.com. But it has been a pleasure. And thanks again to Stephanie for joining us. And thank you all for listening.